Steve, I appreciate you leading us this morning. We've been in a 21-day journey, a three-week series, where we're asking God to help us learn His agenda for our new year of life, not just telling Him what we want to do, those kinds of things. It's a prayer journey. I hope you've enjoyed the little journal exercises that we've given you. And again, praying for big items like, you know, we want to follow you, Lord. We want to submit to your authority. We want to trust you no matter what happens in our lives. And today we're talking about obedience. Lord, we want to obey you in all things. The journey's been interesting for me personally because the last month or so, I feel like I've spent more time telling God what I want Him to do rather than asking Him what He wants me to do. And it's been really kind of funny because He said no to a lot of the things I've asked Him for, which I don't really appreciate. Sometimes I feel like I know what God should be doing and I don't have a clue. He's up to something different and I need to trust Him. So this time for me has been good personally. I hope it's been good for you. The focus statement that I have for you this morning is this: God wants us to obey Him in all things. Why? Why is obedience such an important part of our faith? Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump in. Father, we love you, and we're so grateful that you speak clearly to us about your authority, about your trustworthiness, about your desire for us to obey you in all things. And so, Father, I freely admit that I don't always understand all that you're doing, and none of us really do, but Father, we want what you want more than what we want. We want your agenda, your lordship, to be in control of our lives, not ourselves. So, Father, as we spend this brief time together talking about obedience, may you touch our hearts with truth. May you give us a gratefulness, Father, that you're a perfect God who's worthy of obeying. Jesus, thank you for making it clear about the nature of obedience and faith in you that allows us to have a relationship with God the Father and Holy Spirit. We just need you to speak to us. We can't really process or understand things or apply them in our lives without your Spirit's power and telling us how to do this. So we trust you today. Speak to us now, Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. God wants us to obey Him in all things. Why? Well, the first thing is obedience is not optional. We tend to want to negotiate about everything in our life. In the rules in society, a policeman pulls you over, we want to negotiate whether we were speeding or not. Obedience is not an optional thing in your relationship with God. He's a perfect God and He loves us and He is in control of all things. I started you off with a passage here in Matthew chapter 8. It's the disciples and Jesus on a boat and there's a great storm and everyone's afraid they're going to drown, and Jesus speaks and rebukes the wind and the storm stops. And verse 27 of Matthew 8, the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Not only does nature and all things under heaven and earth obey and bend to the will of Jesus, but what's unique is we're created with an autonomous free will as human beings. And so we're not like the waves that don't really have a chance or nature to respond and make a decision. We've been given this awesome gift of free will, and we are not forced to obey God. God does not mandate that we have to follow Him. He gives us a choice. And of course, there's consequences for all of our choices. But with God in charge, He doesn't make obedience optional. In fact, when He talks about obedience, He really unites it with the idea of faith. Many times we would say we're saved by grace, accepting God's free gift of salvation in Christ's death on the cross by faith, not by works. And that's true. But when people talk about genuine faith, it's always associated with a desire to follow and obey. They're never separated. It's not like, "Jesus, I believe in you, and thanks for forgiving me of my sins on the cross. Now I'm just going to do whatever I want to do with my life." You know, it's always tied intimately together. In fact, in John 14, Jesus is crystal clear about how He feels about this particular issue. John 14, verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." I'm always sometimes looking for a little wiggle room in Scripture about operating and living differently. There is zero wiggle room in that sentence, okay? If you love me, you will obey what I command. He goes on to say, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The word cannot accept him. World cannot accept him because it is neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. When we express our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we believe in who he is, we make that decision to follow him by faith, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit at that particular time of faith and that expression of decision. And so he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us obey. We can't really obey on our own. We don't have the strength to save ourselves from our own sin, but we don't have the strength and the ability to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit's help in us. So the main idea here is obedience is not optional. It flows from faith, and we obviously we are saved by grace, by his death on the cross, his life, his death, his resurrection. But the intent of our heart should be to want to obey. So when I work with a lot of young people, I ask them, so how are you doing, and how's it going on with your life? And many times they'll say, you know, I'm trying to change. I'm trying to do good, but I just can't help it. I just keep doing things that are wrong. And I'm very familiar with that feeling. I'm sure you are as well. You have good intentions. You want to do things right, but for some reason you keep messing up. God in his economy says, look, I need you to obey me, but I understand that you're still broken inside and you're going to have trouble. So what I'm really talking about here is a desire to obey, not perfect execution of obedience. We're going to make mistakes. That's where we need Christ. He loves us and died on the cross for us. We can't save ourselves. We can't live this life on our own. But he expects us, by our faith, to have a desire to want to obey. If I'm talking with someone and they say, you know what, I don't really care what the Bible says. I don't really care whether I obey God or not. Jesus has saved me. I put my faith in him, and I don't need to obey. If I'm talking to someone like that, I've got a real problem with your faith, because that kind of faith doesn't exist in the Bible. If you want to have faith in Christ, you will want to obey. You'll have this desire, this changed desire by God's Holy Spirit. So we probably need to talk about your faith a little bit if that's kind of how you feel. But obedience is not optional. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us obey. Obedience is also for our own good. Parents and grandparents say this all the time. I'm telling you to do this for your own good. This is for your benefit. And we're not always, you know, good at explaining things as parents sometimes, but God says, look, I'm telling you, I'm a perfect God. And if you love me and trust me, all that I want for you is for your good. So I'm not going to tell you something that's going to be bad or evil. I'm going to tell you what you should live life like for your own benefit. The book of Jeremiah talks a little bit about the nature of obedience in an Old Testament context. And I'll read this to you. Basically, Jeremiah the prophet is talking to the people of Israel that were really struggling with this issue of obedience. I'm in verse 22. For when I brought your forefathers out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices. I didn't just tell them to go to church and do religious types of things. I wanted to capture their heart. Verse 23, but I gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in all the ways that I command you, that it may go well with you. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. Great sentence there. Stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. Great phrase in this text. They went backward and not forward. From the time your forefathers left Egypt until now, day after day and again, I sent them my servants, the prophets, but they did not listen to me or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and did more evil than their forefathers did. This Hebrew word for obey really has more to do with listening than it is to do with action. It involves action, but it's basically listen to what God says to you. Take heed to his instructions. Pay attention to the things that the prophets are telling you, that the Bible is telling you, because those things are important for you to listen to, and they're for your good, not for your harm. And God says, I need you to obey me because that's the only way that I can keep you safe. I've given you a free will, and you don't have to obey if you don't want to. But if you choose to obey me, it will be for your benefit. Don't follow the stubborn inclinations of your evil hearts. We all have evil hearts. We're all broken inside. We're hardwired to do things for ourselves rather than submit to God and be humble before Him. But Jeremiah says, look, this is the essence of what makes up a real relationship. You put your faith and trust in me, in God, in Jesus Christ, and then out of that, you'll have that desire to obey, and you'll make progress in life. You'll move forward rather than backward. You'll grow to look more like Jesus Christ. One of the things when I talk to people is, one of the things I ask oftentimes is, how's your life working out for you? So if you haven't yet given your heart to Jesus Christ, you've been sort of living your own way, doing your own thing. That doesn't mean that you're an axe murderer or an evil person. You're just independent and stubborn, inclinations of your own heart, like we all are, right? You're doing your own thing, and I'll ask, honestly, tell me, how is it working for you? And sometimes they'll say, you know what, it's not working so great. Things aren't going very well, and I have no peace, and I oftentimes have no joy, and I do things wrong, and I feel shame and guilt when I do those things that are wrong, and I want to change, but I'm not sure how. How you change is willingly and humbly giving your heart to Jesus Christ and depending upon His Spirit inside of you to have victory over these kinds of sins. It's for your own good. In the book of John again. John chapter 14, verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken to you while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, remember He's key in our lives, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. And then peace I will leave with you through the presence of God's Spirit. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So this last verse here, if you want these things to be true upon your life, they flow out of a desire to obey God's plan for your life, not out of independence and stubbornness and self-determination. The benefits of obeying God are peace and joy and endurance and hope and comfort and confidence. And it is His desire that we wouldn't hurt ourselves in life. One of the things that I never really totally got across to my kids growing up is I raised three very independent kids that like to make decisions on their own. Super stubborn like their mom. And so it's totally like me. But I used to tell them, if you would listen to me, I could save you a lot of pain in life because I've made a lot of mistakes that you're thinking about. And guess what they do? Dad doesn't know anything. And so they make mistakes. It's almost like they have to learn for themselves. But God is saying the same thing to you. If you would follow me and follow my ways, I really could save you some pain in life. I really could help you. But you have stubborn inclinations and you think you're right. We have to come to God and say, no, I know that I need to obey because your ways are right, not mine. My step-grandfather, he's actually the only grandfather on my mom's side of the family that I knew. My real grandfather died before I was born. On her side, he was a carpenter, built houses from the ground up, and he was a super strong guy. He had like one of these steel arms. You know, it was just you touch it, you know, and it would just like, it was solid. And he never used one of those hammers that he gave me, like a regular hammer. He used a framing hammer. I don't know if people still do that, but it's like an extra big hammer, really heavy. And he would say, here's how you got to learn to nail in nails. And he would set it, he goes, you have to set it first. So you tap, then you move your fingers away, and you go bam, and knock it in one shot. And that's what he would do. It was fascinating. And he did it effortlessly. So he gave me the nail and the hammer, and he said, that's what I want you to do. Remember, do it exactly as I said. And I got here and I thought, well, you know what? I don't need to waste time setting the nail. And I've got this hammer. I just need to swing at it and it'll work. So I swung really hard. And of course, you know, probably the story, I hit my thumb. Anybody that's hit their thumb with a big hammer, very rarely will you do that again. You know, it's like one of those life lessons where if it happens, it hurts so bad. I can still remember how it felt. So I did this, and my grandfather was just laughing at me and making fun of me that I didn't listen to him. So I did the only thing I could do. I ran upstairs and told my grandmother that Grandpa broke my thumb, you know, and so to see if I could get the attention off myself, and she was mad at him. It was kind of cool. But anyway, I should have listened. I don't want you to keep banging your thumbs in life. All right? I want you just to humbly obey what God says, even if it might not make sense to your way of thinking. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't say things that he doesn't mean. And he wants you to obey for your own good, to keep you from getting hurt, and to experience the peace and the freedom that Jesus can give you as you obey. Here's another thing about obedience. It gives meaning to life. Obedience gives meaning to life. In John 15, verse 9, reads as follows. Again, the words of Jesus. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain, stay close to my love that I have for you. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy and peace of heart and peace of mind comes from outside of yourself. It's not a consistently self-generated kind of pep talk sort of thing. I got to have joy today. I got to have joy today. It comes from outside of yourself. Jesus has ultimate joy. And he says, if you love and obey me, I will make your joy complete. I will make it prosper. And I will give it to you when it doesn't seem possible for you to have it. John 10:10 says Jesus has this desire that we would live life to the fullest. We'd have a meaningful life, that our love would be full, and we would have hope and purpose in life, and that comes again from being willing to obey. For a long time in my Christian life, I didn't realize that when I sin, God still loved me and forgave me. I used to think that if I made one sin after I confessed faith in Christ, that he left me and I was alone, and I had to ask him back into my life. You only need to believe in Christ once, and then you're good to go. He's there, and he's not going to leave you or forsake you. But when I sinned, I also felt guilty and full of shame and remorse. And it took me a long time to figure out, you know why I feel bad when I sin? Because I've got the Holy Spirit in my life, and I've been ruined to be okay with sin. All right? If you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ and to obey him, what's going to happen to you is you're going to be transformed, and you're never going to be okay with sinning flagrantly again. Now, sure, you're going to make mistakes. Sure, you're going to struggle and have issues. But you're in your heart, a heart of hearts, you don't want to disobey. You don't want to feel the remorse that comes from making your own decisions rather than following Christ. The reason why a lot of my early Christian life, why I felt bad, was because I just thought everybody sinned and you couldn't do anything about it. I didn't know that he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us not sin. I thought it was based upon self-effort and hard work and attendance at church and those kinds of things. Obedience gives meaning to life, and obedience comes through the strength of the Holy Spirit, and it's a desire to want to follow him that gives you that joy and that peace and that willingness to grow and change. Why do you think I can help, let's just say, young adults, young married men, why do you think I can help them with certain issues related to life and obedience? It's not because I'm so smart. It's because I've made mistakes and I've learned, and I can help them learn in the same way. God uses our mistakes to help us become better and to give us more hope and meaning and purpose in life, not just to live for ourselves, but to live to help others, which is sort of the last idea. Obedience gives purpose to life, gives purpose and direction to life. If you've been a Christian for very long, you're very familiar probably with the ending words of Jesus in the book of Matthew. Basically, Jesus had lived his sinless life. He gave his life for us on the cross. He was buried. He rose from the dead. The resurrected Jesus was appearing to people before he went to be with God in heaven. And he gave us these words, this obedience, this command, this purpose to our Christian lives. It starts in verse 16 of Matthew 28. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Just a little side note, doubts and questions are actually okay. It shows that your brain's working, that you're actually thinking. And by the way, these folks, you know, talk about dense. I'm not trying to be mean, but they saw the resurrected Jesus and they still doubted. So what that means to me is it's okay if I doubt. It's okay if I have questions, but what will help me with these doubts and these fears, it's living on purpose. It's listening and obeying the words of Jesus. Then Jesus came to him and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You've heard us say it since the fall, and we'll keep saying it, and it's part of our strategy for the future. We exist here as a church to equip you to know Jesus and to follow him. We want you to know Jesus as much as you can know about him, and we want you to follow him and obey him in all things. And that's basically the heartbeat of this commission, of this command of God. Go find people and talk with them about Jesus. Teach them who I am, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all the things that I give to you, and I'll be with you. You won't go alone. Baptism is just one of those issues that's an interesting, it's a command. It's something that God wants us to do. Now, it's not, baptism doesn't save us. It's not tied to our salvation, but it's a public expression of what we believe. Baptism is a beautiful picture. We have a baptismal back there behind those curtains. If you want to follow the Lord in baptism, he wants us to do this. It's for your own good to do this. We'd be glad to schedule that for you and talk with you about it. But basically, think about it. Jesus walked and was alive on the earth. He was buried, and then he rose from the dead to conquer sin and death and to show that he is God. Baptism is that same identification. We're alive to ourselves. We die and go under the water, and we're raised to walk a new life in the power and the presence of God's Holy Spirit. So it's a great way to follow through on your obedience, but we want to do that for other people. We want other people to find Christ, other people to be equipped, other people to follow him and to be baptized and to grow in their faith. That's why we are here. So if you're like me, if you start thinking about obedience, it can be a little bit overwhelming at first. One of the things I have to ask my wife to help me with is when she has a list of to-dos, her brain fires really fast, and she gives them to me like 5, 6, 7 at a time. Do this, then when you're done with that, do this, then when you're done with that, do this, when you're done with that, and my brain just can't absorb it. And so, okay, give me one thing at a time, and I'll complete that task, and then I'll come back, and I'll ask you what's next, right? And then she gives me one thing, and then I do that, and we're all happy, and we all get along. So I'm not asking you to become Joe Superman obedient in absolutely everything that's in Scripture. There are a lot of things that God wants you to do. It's very fortunate that we're saved by grace, not by just obedience, because we'd never be able to do it all. But what I'm saying to you today is there something that maybe you know that you need to obey that you haven't been done, and take it one at a time. Take it one at a time. It's like a domino. When you've seen those pictures of dominoes that are displayed out that make all these patterns and pictures and stuff, it starts with one domino that knocks them over. What's the one domino that needs to knock over in your life to give you a better perspective on obedience so you can maybe obey the next thing? One that I wrote here for you, and we don't have to spend time with all these verses, but maybe the domino that you need is to actually make a decision to believe in Jesus. Make a commitment to place your faith in him. In the quietness of your heart, say, Jesus, I need you. I believe in what you've done on the cross. I need your forgiveness. I believe in your resurrection. Please help me be a different person. Why that one's pretty important is in, there's other passages I could take you to, but John 3:36 says this: whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. It's kind of a black and white issue. If you make a decision, you believe and you have eternal life and forgiveness. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains upon him. He doesn't have a relationship with Christ yet. Doesn't mean, again, you're an awful person. You're just not a part of God's family. You haven't expressed your faith in Christ to have that forgiveness. And so maybe that's the first thing you need to do. The Bible talks a lot about giving of your finances. Maybe you've been fairly good at obedience and certain things, but you haven't given back to God out of the financial things that he gives you. Maybe that's been a stumbling block for you for whatever reason. Maybe you could start there. Maybe you could start with serving in church, or how about being a servant? The Bible calls us to be a servant and to treat other people as better than ourselves. And maybe that's something that you could say, hey, God, give me that desire to obey you and to be a servant. And God will bless you and will help you grow in these things. Basically, just listen to his Spirit and pick something and practice obedience, because again, it's not optional. It's for your own good. It gives you meaning and it gives you purpose in life. I've given you these notes lately in most of the messages that we're doing. We started last fall, so I hope they're helpful for you. They have individual applications as well as different questions if you're in a group that you could talk through as well. But just as we wind down, a couple of applications. Is there evidence in your life that shows you have a desire to obey? So like if you were standing before a judge and they were trying to build a case that you are an obedient Christian, could they find enough evidence that you truly are obedient? Or is it fuzzy and maybe you're not necessarily obeying the things that he has for you? Maybe I mentioned this, but number two, is there one specific thing that God wants you to do in obedience to him, something that comes to mind? And then just continue to pray for a heart that submits, that trusts, and obeys in all things. Okay, let me pray for us. Father, we love you again, and we just want to tell you how grateful we are that you're clear in your word about how you want us to live and what you want us to do. Father, thank you that we're saved by faith through your grace, the gift of salvation, your death on the cross, not by works. But thank you also for explaining to us that if we have genuine faith, we will want you to be Lord of our lives. We will want you to be the authority. We will want to obey. Will we always do it? No. Thanks for your patience and your graciousness towards us. But please help us to have a growing, burning desire to be obedient, to want to be more like you, Jesus, to want and help other people follow you. We can't live this life without you, Holy Spirit, and so would you fill us and direct us with your wisdom and your knowledge. Give us the ability to follow the things that you want us to obey. May we have victory and peace and joy in living our Christian life, not frustration and shame and guilt that comes from self-effort. And we trust you to do good things in our life and in our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things, speaking of obedience, is I wanted to recognize Steve and Kathy Bullock. You guys want to come down here today? This is Steve's last Sunday with us leading worship. He has actually been a part of our congregation for the last 21 years or so. Most of that time leading and guiding us in worship and growing close to the Lord. And he and Kathy have felt for quite a while now they need to be obedient to follow their kids and their grandkids. Basically, their son and daughter-in-law and their three grandkids go to a church that both of them can actually walk to from their home where they live in Medway. And so they want to invest in their grandkids. They want to be involved in ministry there. One of the things I talked about that God said no to me about was I asked him to change your mind, and he told me to take a hike. So anyway, I want you to do what God wants you to do, and I want to follow you, but I'll definitely miss you. Kathy, you've been a great part of Steve's life and his ministry, and without you, he wouldn't have been able to sacrifice all this time for worship rehearsals and those kinds of things. He couldn't have done it without you. Plus, Kathy's got a really good heart for ministry. She's been involved in a lot of things. Specifically, though, I know she has a heart for senior adults, and God's really used her to help encourage them and to bring joy to their life. Steve is one of those guys. I've been working with him for 8 years now, and he's just always kind of there for me when I got stuck and I needed help. I wouldn't have a worship leader or something would happen, and he would even, while he was vacationing in Maine, drive hours to lead the worship service and then drive back to continue his vacation. He was a real servant. He was really easy to work with. He always did what I wanted him to do. I'm just kidding. No, he always challenges me to be better and to lead better in worship. And I just really, I really love these guys. Steve and I have been through some ups and downs with health and family and kids and those kinds of things. And I'm going to miss having him around, but I want him to know that he's stuck with me as his pastor. Yeah, so I always want to be your pastor, and you can give here still if you want to. You can go someplace else, but as long as you give here, that'd be great. And I'm just kidding. But I want to keep track of you, and you'll always be a part of our chapel family. And so we really love you guys. I'm going to have Jamie come up, one of our elders. I think the other elders are out of town. I don't think so. Why don't you just come up? Can we use this one, Caleb? And I just want to pray a blessing over you and ask God to continue to use you in this new place of ministry. They're getting a great couple, and we're going to miss you a lot. So let's pray.
Just real quick, guys. This is really kind of